You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Okay, so like one thing that people ask us around the Reductus office is, how do I become a better feminist than everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've honestly been wondering about that for a while.
Well, that's why Reductus has a new book called
How to Win at Feminism, The Definitive Guide to Having It All, and then some.
Everybody at Reductress is winning at feminism.
Yeah, like literally even our office dog is a feminist now, and it's because she read our book.
But I want to get real for a second, listeners, because we know you love Reductress, and this book is the most Reductressy thing we've done yet.
Yeah, like if you can believe it, it's even more Reductress than this Reductress podcast.
Like if you can believe it, it's crazy, but it's true. I'm just so excited to put this book on my coffee table or give it to my friends who really need it.
Yeah, like I'm actually giving it to myself. Because I deserve it.
Aww. Yeah. So if you want to support Reductress, pre-order that book on Amazon today.
I heard it's like $5 off the list price.
Are you sure it's not just written on the script right here?
Oh, right. There it is. Yeah.
Anyway, you can order How to Win at Feminism on Amazon right now to save money and get it delivered right to your door on October 25th.
Yeah, you'll be the first to get our book, which is crazy.
It's crazy. So get over to Amazon or any other online bookseller and type in How to Win at Feminism. Then get that book.
Yeah, get it.
Get it.
Get it, girl.
Get it. Open wide, it's
mouth time with Reductress.
I'm Quinn.
And I'm Zakona.
And we're just two girls
who share what our heads are thinking
by moving our mouths. Ooh.
Thank you. On today's episode, here is what we'll be mouthing about.
We share some of our fave self-care strategies.
Plus, I have like a super special announcement.
And we tell you the best wines to pair with your shitty attitude.
Then we welcome our special guest, Faye Craik.
We're editors of Reductress, the only source for women's style, news, entertainment, life advice, inspiration, and I don't know, caves?
Ooh, caves.
Yeah, get in there. Okay, Dakota, so before we start the show, I think your congratulations are in order.
So we just want to say, congratulations, Dakota. Thank you. Yes, that's me. So in case you missed it, which I don't know how you could, I had a tweet go viral this week.
Honestly, you're my hero. Yeah. Just kidding. I mean, yes. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. But kind of kidding. Right. Okay.
Anyway, Twitter is usually like super hard for me because I always use too many characters spelling the word so with 65 O's.
Well, why don't you spell it with just one O?
Well, because then people wouldn't know what I mean. So,
that actually does have a stronger impact.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so tell everyone about your amazing, super witty, awesome tweet.
Okay, so it was just a bunch of balloons.
I made you say it because honestly, even the idea of balloons makes me shake.
Isn't it just crazy? Like, I love balloons.
Nah.
Oh, wow. Are you shuddering at the sound of the word balloons?
Balloons.
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 So, like, obviously, once my tweet went viral, I just, like, got a book deal.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Once I got a book deal when a book agent saw me sneeze.
Oh, my God. Me too.
So weird. Wait, so this is your second book deal? What was your first book?
Oh, well, my first book was called A Sneeze a Day is a Sneeze. Okay. What about you?
Oh, mine was called Through the Nose and Out the Nose. A Sneeze Knows Nothing, I suppose.
Is that a kid's book?
No, what?
It sounds like a beautiful, like a Dr. Seuss.
It was literally a medical textbook.
Oh.
I didn't write it. I had someone come in and help. Oh. He wasn't a doctor, but he said he was going to be one day.
Like a ghostwriter?
But he's like 85, so I'm like, you have to go to school soon.
Yeah, because I heard that medical school takes like 2 years.
Months. Oh,
wow, that's a long time, more than I thought. So, yeah, like, my first book was about sneezing and about, like, how I always, like, sneeze every day.
Every day?
Yeah, I, like, sneeze all the time. It's, like, a thing about me.
I actually say something about that, which is through the nose,
out the nose.
A sneeze knows nothing, I suppose.
I really think that should be a picture book.
Like, I can't even understand where you're coming from on that.
I mean, like, my book did have pictures,
But well, mine had like diagrams.
Like medical diagrams. Mm-hmm. So then my second book, which is about to come out, is inspired by my Twitter. And it's just like based on this photo that I took of a bunch of balloons that I saw on the street. And I saw them and I was like, this is crazy. So I took the picture. I put it on Twitter.
Went viral.
It went viral. I put a caption that said, oh, I got balloons. And then all these people started commenting. They were like, oh, my God, balloons.
See, it's universal. That's why it's going to be such a good book. Yeah. Because everyone can read.
Exactly.
Especially if it's just a picture.
People, all people can read pictures. Our super exciting theme this week is self-care.
Self-care is great because as women, we're actually taught to care about everyone else, but never ourselves.
But we love ourselves.
And everybody needs to practice self-care in their own unique way. For example, I like to self-care by soaking in a bubble bath until people start worrying about me.
Right. And I self-care by finding everything that doesn't bring me joy and throwing it out and just buying all new shit.
I felt a little self-care wash over me just now, just like thinking about that. Miss Seltzer's pot, can we get the sex interns to like throw these out and get us fresh seltzer?
Yeah, can we get some fresh sex seltzer?
See, that was self-care.
Self-care.
Sex seltzer, self-care.
I love sex.
Say that once.
So sad. I can't. Okay, let's talk about how we self-care.
Okay. I self-care. Well, okay, like when I receive constructive criticism,
yeah,
I just yell, stop. And that's really good self-care.
Yeah, that's amazing self-care. Yeah. I like to self-care by like, I like to take a bunch of selfies and then send them to people in Idaho.
They need it.
Yeah, it's like charity because they actually don't have selfies.
Yeah, they don't have selfies there. They just have potatoes.
Potatoes.
I love potatoes, but I don't eat them because they're mostly water. Mm. I self-care by filling a vision board with people I admire and then placing pictures of me over those pictures of people.
Amazing. I sometimes self-care by just sitting in the bathroom at work and like taking a little nap.
I've noticed.
Thank you.
Sometimes I just glow.
Oh yeah, you do glow.
Thank you.
Sometimes I find stray cats and I'm like, you're weird.
That's a good way to self-care.
Yeah, it makes me feel really good.
Sometimes I tell someone they better shape up. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, they'll say something and I'll just be like, you better shape up. And then they're like, And I'm like, you heard me. So that makes me feel a lot better.
That made me feel better, too. It's like, you are shape up because I need a man and my heart is set on you.
Did you write that?
Yeah. So sometimes I just, like, punch other people in the face, but, like, not in a mean way.
Not in a mean way?
Yeah, like, I do it in a nice way.
That's amazing.
Like, I punch them awake if they're asleep.
Honestly, if someone did that, I would call the police. Anyway, one thing I noticed about self-care is that it's, like, really different from what our moms used to do to treat themselves.
Yeah, like, my mom self-cared by doing things for me.
Yeah, that's, like, selfless care.
Yeah, something like that.
And, like, my great-grandmama self-cared by trying to get the right to vote.
Oh, my God, what?
Yeah, she made all these, like, big self-caring protest signs, but she's always getting attacked for holding them. So, in the end, she just decided to put bombs in mailboxes.
Girls did some weird stuff to self-care back then.
Yeah, some of them would be like, I'm self-caring by wearing aprons. And I would be like, are you sure?
Yeah, like, I'm self-caring by wearing a hat and a wig.
Yeah, that's messed up.
I hate it. I also think, like, part of taking care of yourself is sometimes saying, it's time for some self, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, when I go to an EDM show, like, do I even respect myself anymore?
I think that self, I don't care is necessary and important.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes Chad is saying, you're hurting me. And I'm like, you know what? It would take a lot of work to stop doing what I'm doing. So I just have to step back and say, I don't care.
Yeah. And, like, sometimes the people who, like, live in the same building as me get mad because they run the water until it floods their apartments. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care.
Yeah. Sometimes I bring my horse into the lobby and then the lobby people are like, what? And I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah. Actually, that reminds me. Sometimes, you know how I have four little dogs?
Yeah, they're so little.
Sometimes I bring all four of my little dogs like into a restaurant and I let them sit in other people's laps without asking them first and they get mad and I'm like, I don't care.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is really amazing. I love my four little dogs.
Honestly, I just think you're really good at self-care.
No, like, you're really good at self-care.
No, you're really good at self-care. No,
you're really, like, you're really, really good at self-care. You know what? We're really good at self-care.
Okay, if you really like this podcast, guess what? There's something you can do to help us out.
What?
Yeah, you can literally go on your phone or on your computer or on your tabla, and you can go to patreon.com/reductress and set up a monthly donation so that we can help keep this podcast going.
Yeah, like literally for as little as $5, you can get exclusive bonus content.
Yeah, for $25 a month, you get Reductress stickers and a shout out. And for $50 a month, you get a personalized horoscope and a tote.
We like cannot stress this enough. Your help is literally like why we can keep doing this amazing podcast.
Literally. So support this podcast and go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/reductress.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now it's time for our most segment,
the mouthwash, where we take one of our favorite Reductress articles and use them as a spoon because we don't have a spoon right now.
This week, we'll be washing out our mouths with The Best Wines to Pair with Your Shitty Attitude by Jasmine Pierce.
Because it's impossible to sip a glass of wine without letting some of your shitty fucking attitude, right?
It's actually never been done.
I really feel like I needed this because, like, okay, maybe it's just me, but I have a very bad attitude and wine doesn't fix any of it, but I drink it anyway. What's your favorite wine to pair with your shitty ass attitude?
Probably rose.
I think it's pronounced rosé.
No, rose wine. You keep it under a glass dome in a beast's haunted castle and you don't open the bottle until the final petal drops.
Oh, sounds expensive.
It actually is, but it pairs so smoothly with the salty, salty taste of my shitty attitude when Jab does or doesn't text me back.
Aw, that's love. I so wish I had what you guys have.
Anyway, my favorite place to bring wine to pair with my bad tude is on my annual family trip to Martha's Vineyard. It's like, ugh, mom.
That is such a good idea. I just usually bring wine to churches I don't belong to, and I'm like, try this wine. It's so good. Actually, most people don't know this, but churches are like BYOB.
You can bring wine anywhere to a place where you have a bad attitude.
Yeah, like.
Like the doctor. Sometimes I go to the doctor, and I'm like, don't touch me. And then I like. Drink a glass of wine and I'm like, there are no rules here.
Yeah, I always bring a bottle of wine to the dentist and they're like, we literally can't get into your mouth because you're drinking wine.
Sometimes I like to bring wine to a different wine store and I'm like, sue me.
Whoa, that is like so badass.
Literally, I look the owner in the eyes and I go, sue me.
Whoa, you are so cool. I like to bring wine to an actual courthouse and I bring it into the courthouse and I say, sue me.
I love that. That's, I love that. That's,
I love
good.
That too.
That's anyway. Good.
All right. So it's time for a game that's honestly like the only game I've ever played. And it's called Leave Me Alone.
Here's how we play. We say all the pet peeves and things that annoy us that we want to leave us alone.
Like shopping carts with a wobbly wheel.
Yes.
Leave me alone.
My pet peeve is like accidentally falling down the stairs. It's like, leave me alone.
My pet peeve is people who say their pet peeve is the term pet peeve.
Like, yeah.
Leave me alone.
You know what else can leave me alone? The lost child that's crying because it can't find its mommy.
Oh, disgusting.
Go find your mommy and don't leave her alone.
What about like feelings of unending loneliness? Do you know what I mean? It's like,
leave me alone.
Actually don't know what that is.
Oh. Okay, a horse that isn't majestic?
Oh, yeah. Leave me alone. What about like a phone that is still really bright, even at its lowest brightness?
Oh,
honestly, leave me alone. Jen, didn't you say that like one of your biggest pet peeves is other people speaking for you?
Ugh, leave me alone.
Hang on, it's getting so cold in here.
Leave us alone.
Okay, listeners, let me just level with you. You have a busy life, I have a busy life, and I don't always want to just be getting food on the go. Luckily, with this service, which is called HelloFresh, you can change the way that you eat forever. You get natural, delicious, healthy food sent to you in a box once a week, and it has 3, 4, or 5 different meals designed for either 2 or 4 people with new recipes created every week. Basically, it's amazing. It's got fresh ingredients with the exact quantities needed, so there's no food waste. And it's all based on what a full-time registered dietitian says you should be eating. And it's like, hello, thank you.
Yeah, that sounds literally amazing.
Okay, so I got it for a week, and here are the 3 delish things I made. I made like a honey ginger glazed chicken.
What? Are you like a chef or something?
Now I am. I made a dukkha crusted pork chop. Mm. It was good. And I made, oh, a hamburger.
Oh my God, I love hamburger.
I didn't have it, but I made Chab do it. But I also like had a little bite and it was delish. Basically, it was like 30 minutes of work for fresh, delicious food. So we have a special promo code for you to save $35 off your first week of deliveries. You just have to go to HelloFresh.com and enter the code REDUCTRESS when you subscribe. That's all you have to do, $35 off, and before you know it, you're going to have an insulated box of delicious, fresh ingredients delivered to your door just for you.
I love promo codes.
Exactly. So the promo code is REDUCTRESS at HelloFresh.com. That's HelloFresh subscription service, and it's hashtag incredible. Yum, yum, yum. Goodbye. Oh, my G. I am so excited for the guest that we have on today's app. This week's guest is popular TV critic Faye Craig. Faye has been known for continuing to review Frasier even after it's been off the air for 10 years. Thank you for joining us, Faye.
It's such a pleasure to be here, honestly. I really welcome the opportunity.
Oh my gosh. You, like, I've never heard you, like, talk in real life. I just have only ever read your reviews.
Yes, the pen is my usual mode of communication, but occasionally I take to the radio like my muse.
Oh.
Is this radio?
Kinda.
I didn't know that this was radio. That's so cool. That's awesome.
So wait, who's your muse?
Well, I spent a good deal of my career reviewing some of the best and brightest shows out there. And one of the star pupils of my repertoire is Frasier Crane of the titular sitcom Frasier.
You know, I've never seen it, but I love, I mean, I love what you do online. How did you first get interested in Frasier?
It's more how Frasier became interested in me. Frasier is a sitcom that was on the air from 1993 to 2004. It's a whopping 11 seasons.
Wow
is correct. I've seen the entire series, between 3 to 34 times. And,
it's a big range.
It's a big range, and honestly, it's become part of my lifestyle. Frasier is a show about a radio psychiatrist in Seattle, Washington, who cares for his elderly father, deals with the joys and sorrows of his hoity-toity brother, and a kooky young physical therapist.
Wow.
Oh my God, I just fell asleep. That was so crazy. I just fell so soundly asleep. I was like REM. I entered REM.
Which is a fascinating topic. Sleep therapy is one of the many topics Frasier covers on the Frasier Crane Show. Insomniacs frequently call in discussing ways they can't sleep. In fact, famously in a Christmas episode, Frasier is required to do a night shift at KACL. And famously, nighttime kooks call in with their anguishes and woes. I imagine, Dakota, you could do similar.
I I've never seen Frasier, so I don't know. Maybe.
Yes, maybe.
Wow. So, I mean, like, you clearly love Frasier. Frasier's been off the air, though, for, like, over 10 years. But you everything that you do now is against the metric of Frasier. Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, like, what's that about?
Sure. I mean, the metric is Frasier, so it's quite hard to use a different measuring stick.
Wow.
I mean, like, I think it's really cool that you're, like, obsessed with TV. And, like, to be honest, like, we're really obsessed with TV at Reductress. Like, we love reality shows. Mm-hmm. And we love shows that are, like, scripted reality, like Friends. And I guess what I want to know is, like, what do you think of the show Broad City?
That's a good reality show.
I love that reality show. It's just, like, about me and my friends in the city.
Broad City. Is that about a very wide city?
It's a neighborhood in New York.
Yeah.
Broad City.
Broad City.
Is a part of the city.
And okay, so the characters in Broad City are like, what? And they're like, oh, it's Broad City. And they live in like this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And the characters are like, what? And everyone's like, it's Broad City. And they're like, huh? And then they look around and they're like, oh, I live in New York. And then you're watching the TV show and you're like, I wonder if I've ever seen it being filmed on the street because that's me.
Wow. It's really cool.
Now that you're talking about it, I realize I've never heard of that concept. It sounds pretty nutty.
You never heard of what concept?
You said something about filmed in New York City.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty nuts.
A lot of TV shows are filmed in New York City.
Is Frasier not filmed in New York City?
Hilarious question. Frasier's filmed in Los Angeles, California, set in Seattle, Washington, with one actual episode, Frasier Crane Day, filmed in Seattle, Washington, just for kicks for those residents. Now, I was aware of things being mostly filmed in Los Angeles and once filmed in Seattle, but filmed in New York.
That's what you thought maybe the metric was, just always in LA, but once in Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, what else do we have to go by? The books don't show much.
When I went to Los Angeles a couple years ago, this random dude asked me if I wanted to go to his mansion in Seattle, and I was like, no.
Why not?
I don't know. He was like the king of Amazon.com or something.
Wow. I bet that was like a huge mansion.
I didn't go because I was like, that's so random. You know what I mean? Like, he seemed like a kind of like a weird character.
Okay. Well, if he was weird, then you shouldn't have gone. But if he wasn't weird, you should have gone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Hey, speaking of characters, fine. What do you think makes a character relatable?
What makes a character relatable? I suppose a good, strong family foundation, perhaps a passion that drives them, sometimes a nice little a dose of a flaw.
That's good.
A dose of a flaw. You don't want them too flawed. You don't, say, want a character that's, I don't know, so hoity-toity he couldn't connect with Rapidash, ragged Manchester physical therapist, for instance. You want him to be able to relate to the masses, but also go with the upper crust.
Are you talking about Frasier again?
I could be talking about Frasier or Niles, to be honest. That's what's so diverse about the show.
But, like, you also don't want a character who has no flaws, because, like, I have pretty much no flaws, and people, especially men, are always saying, I don't get you.
Wow, that is interesting. No flaws.
Yeah, I'm pretty much perfect.
Pretty much perfect. You know, they say nobody's perfect.
Oh, there's nothing weird about me. I'm perfect.
Good.
I just was wondering, since none of us have seen Frasier, if, like, maybe you could share some of your favorite moments from Frasier, because we just don't know any.
Yeah, like, I've just never seen this show. It's, like, about old people.
Great. Okay. Well, I guess in order, season one, episode one, The Good Son, there's a delightful moment where Martin tells Frasier, that he'd like to bring his old ragged armchair, his ragged, dirty armchair into the building.
Wow.
Fraser doesn't want to. Fraser says his apartment is eclectic contains very fancy, refined furniture, like an Eames chair or a Coco Chanel couch. And Martin argues, well, my chair is eclectic. Can you believe it? Season 1, Episode 2, Space Quest. There's a fascinating scene where Fraser wakes up in the morning and he can't get his coffee because Daphne has insanely put eggshells in the coffee grounds. And Fraser wonders, where are my grounds? Hey, Daphne, where are my grounds? And Martin just has a day with him and he just can't find a single place to read his book.
Wow, I mean,
wow.
I'm trying to find something that's kind of relatable about that.
I mean, one time I walked in to my apartment and my neighbor's cat was licking its butthole on my chair and I threw away the chair.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking of. Like one time I was like with Chab and he was like, I always have to walk on eggshells around you. And I was like, don't walk at all.
Oh, yeah. That is super relatable, actually. That does remind me of what I imagine Fraser is kind of like.
Yeah. Like, we love comedies. Do you follow? That are relatable. You with me? So, like, what about Fraser is, like, the most relatable in your own life, like, as a woman in 2016?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Thank you.
I suppose the quest for sense of self is quite relatable.
Maybe.
I don't know about that.
Perhaps then a second relatable thing is an ever revolving door of relationships that sometimes a city provides.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, that one's
good.
I
got stuck in a revolving door once. It was crazy. I just couldn't get out. I kept going around and around and around and around.
That's literally happened to me too, except for it was an elevator.
Oh my God. Just up and down and up and down.
Yeah, and people kept getting on and off, but I somehow couldn't manage.
Oh my God.
It was like so stressful because people were just like, just walk out. And I was like, if it was that easy, I would.
Totally. So, okay. Wow. I guess maybe I should give this Fraser a try. I mean, it sounds like it's pretty parallel to my life.
I'd say it's pretty parallel. Regardless of your situation, I would say it's pretty parallel to any of your lives.
That's nuts. I mean, I guess I don't understand how you can't really watch any other TV shows. It just seems like you've only ever seen Frasier and you just have seen it a bunch.
I guess I've never thought about it that way.
How do you think about it?
I think about it as I watch television and it happens to be Frasier. I don't ever feel I've omitted anything, though I've only seen Frasier. Never feels like there's much to omit, right?
I think they're like,
there's a lot of other TV.
If you're in a diamond cave and you see one diamond and the rest of it's all dirt, are those pieces of dirt things you've omitted?
Oh, I hate dirt. Oh, I would never go in a cave.
I also hate dirt. Dirt's bad.
I think I get it.
So I have a question. You've been married for a while and you're clearly like 100 years old at least. And I guess I'm wondering is, what kind of marriage advice can you give to our listeners?
Totally.
Wow. Well, the way my spouse and I met was pretty wild. It's the stuff of love episodes. I was down and out trying my best at getting a relationship in my hometown, and I just couldn't find anybody I really related to. So one day I sought the help of an online dating service, and back then wasn't, I'm calling it online for everybody at home, but it was an in-person catalog, an in-person catalog of faces that I had to flip through.
An in-person catalog
A thesis.
Of faces.
Sure, okay.
I went into a room and I looked through a binder of faces of people with personality traits.
Okay.
That I had to choose from. I went through and I flipped and I thought, no, none of these fellows are for me. I went on some wild and kooky dates. It was a montage of ridiculous dates, one more ridiculous than the next, till finally I realized the man with the catalog in the office was the man for me.
Is this a Frasier episode?
It's a Frasier season. Season 11.
Oh,
wow. Life imitates art.
This is how he meets the famous Laura Linney in season 11.
Wow. I mean, I guess we would just love to hear some more of your favorite Frasier moments, since that seems to be your expertise.
Oh, well, I mean, it's hard to choose between children, but I guess my next favorite moment of Frasier would be, yes, season 1, episode 3, when Frasier and Niles decide to take Martin to the famed Le Cigar Volant. Only to... it's hilarious. Never get their reservation in time, and they have to go to the Timber Mill, Martin's favorite restaurant, which is a big steak free-for-all fuck fest, where their ties get clipped at the door.
Wow,
that's crazy.
That's nice.
I guess my following favorite moment, season 1, episode 4, when Frasier encounters a famed critic, Derek Mann's negative review in the Seattle newspaper, and calls him out on his show. What a delightful little story. And a little nugget at the end. They have an off-screen fist fight. Can you imagine?
Off-screen.
Oh, off-screen fist fight. You know, tastefully done, I'd say. Nowadays, your Game of Thrones type shows, which I've only read about in tweets, they'd probably do something very vile and on screen.
Yeah,
I love
definitely.
Game
I love the Game of Thrones.
Then I'd be remiss to mention season 1, episode 5, where Martin becomes smitten with a woman across the way via telescope.
What?
That sounds really questionable.
Your incredibly fair point would never work in today's day, but 1993 presented a different time.
I wouldn't know. I was born in 2001.
Ah, yes. My daughter, too. And, you know, if I had to jump ahead, say, 150 episodes, I would say season 8 was really the crux of Frasier for me. That was the Fat Daphne season. Fat Daphne season. Now, you've heard of the phrase, jumping the shark.
No.
Is that when you jump over a shark?
Yes.
Because I have done that.
It is when you jump over a shark. I'm unfamiliar of any other attachment to the phrase. But some people regard Fat Daphne season as a hitch in the Frasier universe.
I've heard of one episode where there's a dead shark on the beach. Is this it?
Dead shark. It's a dead seal.
It's a dead seal.
it's a dead seal that they cover in Maris's negligee.
Yeah,
that's so sad because I feel like Gwen, you really tried.
Really thought it was a shark. I really thought I knew. It's a seal, and like they're at someone's nice house.
Yes, they're at a little beach house to host a lovely little soiree to impress Frasier's high society friends with a fancy chef who's very persnickety and will not cook with a dead seal outside. A great, stinking dead seal.
I mean, that's comedy.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing those moments that were just chronologically every moment you could think of.
Yeah.
Literally didn't notice.
Okay, we hope that you'll stick around and play a game with us, if that's okay.
I love games.
Okay, this game is called Trope or Nope. And we're going to give you like a common sitcom scenario, and you're going to tell if it's a trope or nope, you hate it.
Terrific.
Okay.
Drinking wine.
Sherry, please.
Is that a trope?
Oh, yeah, trope.
Okay, cool. A classic will they, won't they?
Faye or Lana? That's what I say.
So is that a trope?
That's a trope.
Oh, yes. Trope.
High school football player that has a lot more to offer.
No.
Really? I feel like that's something I've like seen in a lot of shows.
No. Friday Night Lights.
Gly.
Oh, yeah, Gly.
That's the show
totally
where they
happens
sang.
In Gly. All right, let's keep going.
Like an old man who loves sitting in one particular chair.
Mm. I mean, trope or nope, it's fantastic.
Okay, British and semi-British accents.
Mm-hmm. This is also fantastic. Similarly fantastic. It's a good trope.
She's female, but she's also a lawyer.
Oh, interesting. Hmm. You know, Terry Polo is female, and she played a lawyer in an episode of Frasier in a heated romance. Yes, trope.
Oh, wow. Okay. Competitive wifing.
Competitive wifing. Hmm. You know, I will say trope. There's an episode of a show I've seen where the main character hallucinates all his exes, which includes Lilith, Diane, and Nanny G, all in a cabin telling him everything that's wrong with him.
Is this Frasier?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, I was thinking of like wife swap, wife tap, please take my wife.
Or Glay.
Who's the better wife? Or also Glay. Okay, 8 people picked to live in a house to stop being polite and start getting real.
8 people. 8 is too many. 4 maximum.
Okay, so
nope.
Okay,
Okay. No, too many.
Like, what about like a long-running spin-off show?
Mm-hmm. But it's only good if the spin-off itself becomes its own entity. It shouldn't be considered a spin-off anymore.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I literally do. That's for the first time, I literally do.
What about Cats?
No.
Not even like the musical Cats where they're like, memories.
Oh my God, Dakota, you can like sing for real.
Thank you so much.
I've never seen a live piece of entertainment.
Oh my
That's
God.
That's completely shocking.
You should go to see something live. Like, I went to Coachella and I fell asleep on the first day and I didn't wake up until it was over, but it was awesome.
That's so cool. Okay, and here's the last one. Episodes where there's a murder.
100% yes. I can 7 come to mind.
7?
7 come to mind.
An episode 7 shows or 7?
Sorry, 7 episodes of one show.
Oh.
There's an episode where Niles is head of the board of his apartment, the Montana, collapses dead onto his floor.
That's awful.
Yes. There's an episode where Niles's wife, Maris, is accused of the murder of her lover via bow and arrow.
Bow and arrow. Wow. Wow, that's a lot.
This show sounds really intense.
It's very scary sometimes.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so, so much for being on the show, Faye.
You're welcome. I'm happy to share my thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, it was honestly mostly just one thought, which is Frasier rules, but thank you for doing it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're right. Frasier does rule.
We might go watch it now, but probably not.
Okay, we were hoping you would stick around for one last segment. It's called Spill It. And this is where we talk about the cool things we're up to. What are you up to, Dakota?
Oh my God. So next week, I'll be at a bonfire on a roof of a newly constructed condo in Bushwick.
Whoa, sounds cool.
Yeah, it's going to be really amazing.
For me, Chab and I are going to be upstate picking apples and leaving there to rot until winter.
Oh, so cute. Yeah. You guys always come up with the most romantic date ideas.
I love it when we take an apple down, but then we're just like, ugh, no thanks. And then we just leave it on the floor.
That's so cute.
Yeah, thanks. What are you going to be up to, Faye?
Oh, you know, I thought I might take another stroll along Lot 52 at Paramount Studios. Just see what it's up to. You know, I haven't been in a week. That's where Frasier was shot.
They let you in, just like walk around.
I have to scale a fence, but I've got thick haunches, so it works out. And it's all good from there. Usually I tweet at David Hyde Pierce from in there, see what he's up to, see if he tweets back. He's never tweeted back.
Well, best of luck with that.
Hoping.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to plug?
Yes. Shockingly, though I don't interact with the internet, I have a Kickstarter launching.
I love Kickstarter. One of my favorite channels.
It's a good channel, mm-hmm. Yes. Good TV shows. It's launching in mid-October for a digital series called Hustle, about two ladies fighting the supervillains of unequal opportunity and racism.
Wow.
I've never that heard of those like, supervillains.
It has nothing to do with Frasier, but I love it.
It sounds really good.
Well, thank you so, so much for joining us. Tune in next week where we all get Taken 3.
This was Mouth Time with Reductress, brought to you by the Sideshow Network. Written by Beth Newell, Sarah Pappalardo, Nicole Silverberg, Anna Dressen, Jasmine Pierce, and Rachel Wininski. Special thanks to our producer, Maria Sfertilosi, and our guest, Rekha Shankar. Check out Reductress.com for more, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, it's Eliza, and I'm here to tell you to listen to my podcast, Truth and Eliza. We all love to complain and get angry. We say terrible things about each other behind each other's backs. Don't act like you don't. We all get frustrated. We have pet peeves, and it's the stuff that bothers us that makes us unique and unites us. And that's why we're talking about it here. Celebrities, comedians, musicians, people that do regular things, people that do weird things, we're all here on my podcast talking about what pisses us off. And from there, we broach a conversation. It's the best way to bond, and I believe the only way. That's Truth and Eliza. New episodes every Friday. Download, rate, and subscribe on iTunes or check us out on SideshowNetwork.tv/Truth and Eliza.